From Quality Radio Productions, it's the Upstate Radio Theater. I'm Jake Longwell with another hour of sounds from the Golden Age of Radio. We'll open today's program with an episode of Suspense, one of the longest-running drama series of radio's golden era. The pilot program was produced in 1940. The series began its full-time run on CBS in 1942 and continued production straight through to September 30th of 1962, the night many people consider to be the end of the golden age of radio, with the final episodes of Suspense and Yours Truly, Johnny Dollar, airing on CBS. This broadcast is from October 26th of 1953 on the Columbia Broadcasting System, with Broderick Crawford as our star, and this episode is based on actual events which took place in 1935 in New York City's underworld. It's called Dutch Schultz, an episode of Suspense, opening up this edition of the Upstate Radio Theater.
Autolite and its 98,000 dealers bring you Mr. Broderick Crawford in tonight's presentation of
Suspense. Tonight, Autolite invites you to return to the 30s as we chronicle the true account of those turbulent years with a report called Dutch Schultz, our star, Mr. Broderick Crawford.
Say, Harlow, October's great, isn't it?
Yes, sir, Hap. Great for football, long drives.
And for checking spark plugs, too.
That's right, Johnny Plug Check. Now's the time to get that car winterized. And along with that antifreeze, change of oil and grease, don't forget the spark plugs.
Well, how could anyone forget, Harlow? Spark plugs are the very heart of the car's ignition system.
They sure are, Hap. And when they're right, you will start quicker and surer every time, even in the coldest winter weather. So don't delay, friends. Visit your Autolite spark plug dealer now. He's a specialist in spark plug cleaning and adjustment. If replacements are needed, he'll recommend a set of ignition-engineered Autolite spark plugs, like the amazing Double Life Resistor spark plug. To quickly locate your nearest Autolite spark plug dealer, phone Western Union by number and ask for Operator 25. And remember, from bumper to tail light, you're always right with Autolite.
And now, Autolite presents Dutch Schultz, starring Mr. Broderick Crawford, hoping once again to keep you in suspense.
Give me a packet of cigarettes, sir.
Yes, sir. That'll be 11 cents, sir.
11 cents? Yesterday there was 10.
Sorry, mister. As of midnight, all major brands went up to 11 cents. This is 1935, you know, not 1932.
Yeah.
Things are looking up and going up, that's what I say.
You say that, huh?
Yeah. Ginch.
What?
Outside, I got something.
Okie dokie. So?
Certain parties is meeting tonight up at the hotel.
Are you kidding? Hey, Flot, you kidding me?
Oh, Ginch, I wouldn't kid you. You know that.
What parties?
The big brokers. You know, Harry and Lepke and Lucky. And Albert, he's going to be there. And Gurra. And the boys from Chicago, Milwaukee,
Casey. Nobody said nothing to my boss.
I just thought you ought to know.
The Dutchman ain't going to like this, Flot.
He's still got you running numbers.
Yeah.
Why don't you quit him?
I can't.
Why not?
Mo Weinberg quit. Dutch Schultz stuck an ice pick in his ear.
Yeah, I heard about that. He's kind of a screwball, huh?
Screwball? Oh, wait till he hears you holding another meeting without him. Boy, he'll be banging all over the place.
Maybe you better not go back to Newark today.
And who'll he be banging? Me.
So take a rest. Tell you what, Ginch, I'll blow you to a show.
What's playing?
Shirley Temple. I already seen it, but I'll see it again.
Shirley Temple, huh?
Yeah. She's the cutest little thing, just like a doll. I tell you, Ginch, boy, I cried. I honestly did.
Are you Harry, Lucky, boys?
All right, gentlemen. I think we are all assembled. Somebody turn that radio off.
Hey, you're looking just fine. Hey, Harry, how was the vacation?
It was very charming, very charming.
Did Mrs. enjoy herself?
Her back gave her a few, what do you call it, twinges, but taken by and large, it was a charming vacation.
That's nice.
But enough of this pleasantries. To business, gentlemen. The question we have met to deliberate about is this new fellow in the DA's office.
That bummer's got to be banged in the head.
Please, a little consideration?
Hey, girl, don't be interrupting, Harry.
Sorry.
Apologies accepted. Now then, this new fella has been investigating some matter which might prove embarrassing to we fellows if all the facts should become known. I am referring in particular to the stuff he is investigating about the numbers business. Now, since we decided to get smart and form the syndicate...
What do you mean I don't go in? How are you, boys?
Dutch Schultz.
Yes, Albert, it's the Dutchman. How come all of my good friends here, the people I've been doing business with for years, how come they're holding councils without the Dutchman, huh?
Please, act like a civilized being, will you? Act like you didn't grow up in a barn or somewhere.
And you, Harry, you're my pal. What is this?
This is a matter concerning New York City, Mr. Schultz. Not New Jersey or Newark, which is why you weren't invited.
Well, the way I heard it was, you was going to discuss the new guy in the DA's office.
Which is correct, but please, no names.
That DA, he done a lot of bad things to me. I think I ought to be in on a discussion.
Frankly, I didn't think you'd be interested, but since you see fit to come busting in here, you can stay.
Yeah, that's more like it, Harry, thanks.
One thing, though.
What? What's that?
You're not on the board of the syndicate, Mr. Schultz, so you don't get to vote.
Wait a minute, what is this? A bunch of lead pipe hoods and you're trying to make like big businessmen, big operators.
We are businessmen, Dutch. You can sit down and shut up or get out of here. All right, that's more like it. Now then, Harry, you were saying?
Ever since that runaway grand jury took out Mr. Dodge, we have had great difficulties keeping the DA's office in line. We got plenty of grease, but nobody will pay it to. This new fella, he's incorruptible. So the question is, what are we going to do about him?
Just give him a treatment he wouldn't forget, that's all.
That's what I say. The bummer's got to be banged in the head.
Now, please, what are you talking? Gentlemen, a little consideration. Thank you. You see, Mr. Schultz, times are changing. We don't operate with those tactics anymore. This is big business. We got to operate with a modicum of intelligence.
Modicum? What gives without their modicum?
It means a itty bit.
All right, why don't he say so? A itty bit intelligence. That I can understand, but modicum. Now
please, Mr. Schultz, let me remind you. You're here as an observer only.
Oh, please proceed. I was carried away, a modicum.
Yes. Operate with intelligence. It seems to me that there is a definite possibility that we may have to resort to drastic measures in dealing with this fella.
Yeah.
And so I am deputizing Albert here to investigate the situation. This is no ordinary contract, Albert. I want you to figure out how it can be done so nobody gets fingered and nobody gets hurt. Excepting for that fella, I mean.
Will do. The perfect contract.
Yeah, and I'll help you. I got a lot of ideas and experience in that line.
No.
Harry, listen, you don't know how much I hate that new DA.
N-O. No. This calls for finesse. And please, no names. Albert, I'm counting on you. Gentlemen, we'll meet here in 1 week for Albert's report. And in the meantime, don't worry about the future. You know the old saying? Keep smiling.
$534.23 $78.50 $23.46 $891 and $415.67 And that, my good friend, winds it up for the night.
Really a very nice little take, Inch, if I do say so myself.
Yeah, well, just don't you plan on taking any of it for yourself, Abba Dabba.
Who can be so stupid? You needn't speak to me like that, Ginch. I know Mr. Schultz.
Yeah, but you don't know him like I know him. Yeah, what's the food on the table for?
Mr. Schultz. He's back from the meeting.
I was hoping he'd stay in New York, see a show or something. Hi, boss.
Hello, Mr. Schultz.
Hi, boys. Okay, Berman, what's the tally?
Oh, very good, Mr. Schultz. $13,561.13 for the day.
That's because of you, Abba Dabba.
It was nothing.
Yeah, so they think I'm slipping, do they? You, Gitch, what do you think?
Well, I think you're on top of the world, Dutch.
Yeah, and you know why? because I use my brains. When I ain't got them, I buy them. Those knuckleheads in New York, those big businessmen, they got a numbers racket. Me, I got a numbers racket. Mine pays off the players, but hardly ever. Theirs, it's paying off all the time. And why? Because mine is superior, that's why. Because I use my head. I went out and bought me Abba Dabba here.
Oh, but I was glad to get the job. I like the money.
Shut up! I think, why isn't the numbers paying me more money? Because it's too honest, that's why. It's like a bad slot. When a slot's bad and paying off too much, what do? You fix it. So I went over to that college there, and I bought me a student, a mathematical genius. I said to him, kid, you fix this, and I'll take care of you.
You were very generous, and was really a fascinating problem.
Gensh, what's the matter with South Bayonne?
The school kids. We're losing that business. One of their principals is working against our runners.
Oh, principal, huh? I hate principals. I had a principal once. His name was Jesse Condon. Did you ever hear of him?
By the Lindbergh case?
Yeah, that's the one. He used to beat my ears off, and I was a defenseless kid, too. Look, I'll tell you what. Ginch, you give this principal a workout.
Oh, Dutch, he's an old man.
I don't think you heard me good, Ginch.
I heard you, Dutch. You're only working guys over. Well, you got plenty of guys to do that sort of stuff.
But I want you to do this one, Ginch. Let me show you a trick, Ginch. Come here. Put your hand on the table.
Oh, Dutch.
Put it on the table there.
All right.
Dutch, you broke it. You broke my thumb.
Yeah, that was pretty neat, wasn't it, eh? I know a lot of those kind of tricks, kids. So I tell you what now. Every week that passes without you doing what I tell you, like when I tell you to give the principal a workout, I'm going to break another finger for you. What are you staring at?
Nothing, sir.
All right, that's good. I don't like people to stare at me. Well, how about it, Gitch? How do you feel?
Oh, Dutch.
Shouldn't he get that fixed, Mr. Schultz?
Yeah, he should. Now, Gitch, here's 50. Go down to the drugstore and get that fixed up. Come on, Gitch. Do me a favor. Get me a present for my mother. Something nice, a big bottle of Toujours L'Amour. You know what I mean?
Yeah, for your mother. Sure, Dutch. If you want, I should get her some perfume or toilet water.
I'll kill you for saying that! Where does he take his ears? Where does he get off talking like that? Stop that! Everything's going crazy around here. My own boys are talking out against me, and those businessmen. Just a simple contract. Hit the DA on the head, and they got to meet with the board of directors like, oh, that's a big deal. Keep smiling, he says. Keep smiling.
Autolite is bringing you Mr. Broderick Crawford in Dutch Schultz. Tonight's presentation in radio's outstanding theater of thrills, Suspense.
Say, Hap, have you had your car winterized yet?
Well, no, Harlow, I haven't.
Winter weather doesn't wait. Get on the ball, man. Agitate.
Ah, Johnny Plug Check's right, Hap. There's no time like now to get that car into your Autolite spark plug dealer for a change of oil and grease, antifreeze.
And check those important spark plugs, too.
Right, Johnny Plug Check, because they're the very heart of your car's ignition system. And when the spark plugs are right, you'll always start quicker and surer, even in coldest weather. If replacements are needed, your Autolite spark plug dealer will recommend a set of world-famous Autolite spark plugs, like the resistor spark plug, which gives a double life of smoother engine performance and quick starts. And the resistor spark plug is only one of a complete line of Autolite spark plugs, ignition engineered for every use. So decide now to have your car winterized this week.
And check those important spark plugs, too.
At your neighborhood Autolite spark plug dealers, because from bumper to tail light, you're always right with Autolite.
And now, Autolite brings back to our Hollywood soundstage Mr. Broderick Crawford in Elliot Lewis's production of Dutch Schultz, a true story well calculated to keep you in suspense.
All right, gentlemen, all right. All right, Albert. Let's hear it.
And Albert, don't give us none of that keep smiling stuff, huh?
Look, Schultz, I don't want no trouble with you tonight.
Okay, Mr. Businessman, okay. Let's hear the report, huh?
All right. I want quiet. I don't want to have to tell this twice. Here it is. The subject under discussion is no DA. This guy's got it 24 hours around. Two plainclothesmen all the time. They watch his building, they escort him everywhere. There's no way to get at him. I mean no ordinary way.
Use a truck. You get a big garbage truck. See, it comes speeding down the street.
Mr. Schultz, do we have to have you ejected?
All right, go on.
My cousin, he's got a little kid, 5 years old. So what I did, I borrowed this kid, bought him a tricycle, see? Every morning when this fella comes walking out with his bodyguards, there I am, Joe Citizen, typical square, taking my morning physical with my little boy right there by the door.
Very nice. Good, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. He comes walking out. He smiles at the kid, sort of tips his hat to me. I swear that guy's going to be a politician someday. And then he walks down to the corner drugstore.
Drugstore?
Yeah, yeah. And the way I figured, everybody in City Hall is trying to tap his phone, so he uses the drugstore's public pay station. He goes inside, the two bodyguards keep out in the street. He stays in an average of 3 minutes, alone, see? Then he comes out, gets in a city limousine, and goes downtown.
Very nice information, Albert. Now, how do you work it?
He's very precise, this fella. Goes into the drugstore at 8:05 precisely every morning. The fellas who are handling the contract get there early. Bang the druggist with silences, wait. He comes in. Guards are outside. He goes into the booth. They bang him, stroll out. You got two and a half minutes to get away. The guns get left in the drugstore.
That's good. Let's do it.
Listen, Albert, I think it's a very compact and neat way to handle a contract, and I only wish I still had you working for me in your old capacity.
Yeah, yeah. Incidentally, the guns I already arranged for, a pair of brand-new untraceable government 45s. We lifted him out of a crate down at the Federal Warehouse.
It's perfect. Nice work, Albert. But I've been giving this entire matter a lot of thought during the past week. Now, really, I tell you honestly, I haven't slept. Now, please, gentlemen, I beg of you, a little consideration. All right! Burn! What I care. You wouldn't listen. That's better. Now, you know me. I got only your best interests at heart. And I have come to the conclusion that it is in all our best interest that this fellow from the DA's office stays alive.
Harry, what are you, buggy or something? This guy's got to go.
All right, boys. You can just quiet down and listen to me.
Yeah, Lucky. What do you say?
I say Harry's right. The guy lives. Now, we got to look at this with the long view. We got to think of the syndicate.
You and the syndicate can drop dead. Albert's got the perfect plan. Let's use it.
Listen, Schultz, I want you to shut up. And now. Harry's right, and here's why. What can this DA investigate? The Manhattan, nothing else. All right. So we're going to let him. We got a nationwide business to take care of. We ain't going to sacrifice that just so the couple of Times Square number runner can stare at the can. The syndicate will come first.
Yeah, but that fella, he's investigating pretty high up. He could even get some of we fellas in this room.
No, Gura.
No?
Any lawyer will tell you they can't get an indictment unless they got a solid case. And they can't get a solid case unless they got two witnesses. And that is where we pass out the contracts.
You mean, instead of taking this one fella, we're going to have to take 10, maybe 20?
Yeah, yeah. And here's why. Take this fellow, and it becomes a federal case. It gets out of Manhattan, it gets out of hand. And you boys from Chicago and Milwaukee and KC know what I mean. And you too, Dutch. You don't want this investigation spreading all over in New Jersey.
I'm sure Mr. Schultz is beginning to see the light.
Now, let's take a vote. Anybody against the notion that we let the little fella go ahead with his investigation?
Well, it seems a long way around the bond to have to kill all those witnesses instead of just one fella.
We can get them before they start to be news. There's no problem in there.
Hey, I'm with you.
Well, I'm not.
Leaving us, Mr. Schultz?
Yeah. Yeah, I'm going back to Jersey where the air don't stink from chicken.
I take it you don't like the way we operate.
Look, Albert here comes up with a perfect contract, and you fancy pants are too chicken to carry it out. Well, listen, Lucky, Albert, Henry, all, Harry, all the rest of you. Maybe there's somebody in this world who ain't too chicken. That's just a little thought, gentlemen. Just a little thought.
Mr.
goes to Death House. Get your New York Daily Mirror here. Pay me.
They're over there, Dutch. Those fellas.
What you want, Skinch? Stand up at a shoe store there?
Yeah. Are you going to want me anymore today, Dutch?
No, I'll go back to Newark.
Sure, Dutch.
Hello, Mr. Schultz.
You the fella?
Yeah. Toy's the name. This is my partner, Murray.
You fellas want to make a little?
Depends on the contract.
That's an easy contract. I got it all figured out, so it'll be no problem.
Who's the mark?
Just a fella.
I gotta know who.
What's the matter? What's it to you, who? It's just a job, that's all. It's no problem, Toy. Look, what is this? What's with you? A couple of sissies or something? You scared of a little job? I asked Inch to get me some fella who could handle a little contract. Look, you want to know who the fella is? All right, I'll tell you, I got nothing to hide. It's the new DA in New York.
Come on, Murray.
Wait a minute, where you gone?
You got the wrong parties, Mr. Schultz. Haven't you heard? The DA lives. That's the word from the syndicate.
Ginch.
Hello, Flat.
What happened to your arm? What's with the sling?
Dutch.
Oh.
First the thumb, then the wrist. Something he thought I said about his mother.
He's an animal, that's what.
Another year with Dutch, I'm going to be in very bad condition.
And you can't quit.
That's right. You won't let me go. Bo quit. Dutch stuck an ice pick in his ear.
Ginch, I don't know, maybe I'm crazy, but if I tell you something, would you tell Dutch?
I wouldn't tell him if his hat was on fire.
Certain parties is having a meeting tonight. 6 o'clock.
Oh, that's one he really don't know about.
Gentlemen, the situation is fraught with danger to us all.
I don't know.
If it was anybody else, I would say forget about it.
Yeah. It being the Dutchman, he's just screwy enough to follow through.
My boys never lied to me. They say he's out shopping for a man to take the contract right now. Been talking about it for almost a week.
There's only one thing to do.
We got to take Dutch before he takes that fellow from the DA's office.
Albert, you got any ideas?
Dutchman is kind of screwy, but he ain't crazy. You know what I mean. He's not the kind of a fellow you just walk up to and do it. He's covered all the time.
I know where he's hanging out this week.
Where's that, Lucky?
The Palace Chop House over in Newark.
I know that place. It's got a little private dining room in the back there.
That fellow'd have to be screwy to try it in there.
Yeah, I got just a man.
Bug, Mandy, in here. Got a job for you, Bug. Contract.
Yeah. Who?
Dutch.
Okay.
It's got to be fast.
Sure. Fast.
I mean tonight.
Okay. Tonight.
Mandy, you drive. Come on. Walk you down to the car.
Probable business.
Yeah. Well, gentlemen, we got nothing more to talk about tonight, so I would suggest we get out and get seen, if you follow me.
$483.11. $68.51. $17.39. $550 even. $137.45. Look, stop that creepy whistling, will you? I'll fix your whistle so it'll never blow again. All right, now. $775.15. That does it. What am I going to do to that Ginch when he gets back? I told him to go back to Newark. Where is he?
Maybe he missed the train. Or something.
Look at Berman. I need you around here to handle my books and keep my numbers business functioning. I don't like it. You should be talking all the time and whistling like a boy, like a schoolboy.
Sorry, Mr. Schultz.
I'm going to be in business for a long time, Berman. Remember that. You want to get rich? Stick with me.
Yes, sir. I'm with you, Mr. Schultz.
But keep your mouth shut, see? Tight shut. Now get those tallies added up. I'm going to wash my hands.
Yeah, okay.
Thank you.
kid.
You with the glasses.
Hmm? Whom are you addressing, may I ask?
Where's Dutch?
He went to the bathroom. But you, you haven't answered my question.
Kid, you bother me.
I'm sorry, it's busy.
So am I. Busy. Busy as a bee.
What do you say, Gincho boy? Gincho boy, was a hot seat totsy or was a hot seat totsy?
Oh, it was a hot seat totsy, all right, Flotto boy. Oi, boy, I sure let you talk me and stay in New York. Dutch is really going to be sore me now.
Ah, forget it. Come on, come on. We'll go up to Lindy's. Have a couple of drinks. You standing around.
All right, stay.
Listen, Fry, I can't. I'm in so much trouble now.
Hey, wait, what's that? Listen.
Dutch Schultz gunned to death by mystery figure, baby.
Did you hear that?
The Dutchman gets in.
Come on, let's buy a paper.
Let's buy all the papers.
Yeah, even the Times.
Yeah, we'll take them up to Lindy's.
And have a drink.
And have a party. Hey, boy! Hey, newsboy!
Suspense. Presented by Autolite. Tonight's star, Mr. Broderick Crawford. This is Harlow Wilcox again. Tomorrow, members of the American Trucking Association attending the annual convention in Los Angeles will see a new 3-cent stamp being issued by the Post Office Department. This stamp commemorates the 50th anniversary of the trucking industry. In the years since they first proved themselves as winning competitors over horse-drawn vehicles, trucks have become the backbone of our transportation system. Their versatility and dependability in war and peace and their economy of operation have made trucks the finest carrying vehicles any civilization has ever known. Today, over 9 million of these modern beasts of burden serve us in countless ways and give work to some 6 million Americans who make, drive, and service them. Autolite has been associated with this industry for 42 years. And is privileged to salute the American Trucking Association on this important occasion. Next week, another true story, as we dramatize the diary of a man whose unfortunate task it was to set down a report on the death of his friends. Ordeal in Donner Pass. Our star, Mr. Edmund O'Brien. That's next week on Suspense. Suspense is produced and directed by Elliot Lewis, with music composed by Lucian Morowick and conducted by Lud Gluskin. Dutch Schultz was adapted for Suspense by James Poe. Featured in tonight's cast were Jay Novello, Herb Butterfield, Hi Averback, Paul Fries, Sidney Miller, Jack Moyles, Benny Rubin, and Anthony Barrett.
Broderick Crawford will soon be seen in Night People, a 20th Century Fox picture.
And remember, next week, Mr. Edmund O'Brien in Ordeal in Donner Pass.
Buy Autolite resistor or standard type spark plugs, Autolite electrical parts, and Autolite stay full batteries at your neighborhood Autolite dealers. Switch to Autolite. Good night.
This is the CBS Radio Network.
From October 26, 1953 on CBS, an episode of Suspense, Dutch Schultz, starring Broderick Crawford. You are listening to the Upstate Radio Theater. I'm Jake Longwell. Even after September 30th of 1962, there were several attempts at reviving radio drama on network radio in the 1960s. ABC Radio came up with Theater 5, a series of short stories broadcast 5 days a week, Monday through Friday at 5 p.m. The series ran during 1964 and 65. This broadcast is from April 30th of 1965. The announcer is Fred Foy, and some of you may know that name, especially if you are fans of The Lone Ranger, as he was a longtime announcer for that radio program. But in the mid-60s, he was an ABC staff announcer. So, from April 30th, 1965, with Santos Ortega as our star, this episode of Theater 5 is entitled Make My Name Clean.
Theater 5 presents Mr. Santos Ortega in Make My Name Clean.
Watch your step. What floor?
Penthouse.
Penthouse?
Yeah, why?
Nut. You're the passenger.
Say, what's with this apartment building?
Something wrong?
I don't know. But those four doormen I had to get past in the lobby, they had the manners and looks of a bunch of bit players from some old Humphrey Bogart movie. And, friend, I can just tell you never went to charm school.
Decent building needs protection nowadays. You never know what kind of creep's going to walk in off the street. Penthouse. That's the buzzer over there.
Oh, thank you. And goodbye, pal.
I'll wait.
Charming. Angela.
Oh, Mr. Felton, you did come.
He okay, miss?
Yes, thank you, Max. That will be all. Please come in, Mr. Felton.
Wow, the lady's for real. Pink and soft and for real.
Mr. Felton...
What's with the Mr. bit? The name's Harry, remember? Oh, baby.
No, please, not here.
Oh, now, baby, is that a nice way to act? I mean, this date was your idea. What's the matter, your husband home?
I'm not married.
Well, then...
Please, you must have misunderstood me last night.
Oh, yeah? Listen, Bright Eyes, I'm a busy man. You know how many clients I left dangling this afternoon to make this scene? Come here.
No!
Oh, nuts. Well, bye-bye, Missy. You were short, but sweet.
Don't let him out, Max.
Hey, let go of me, you big gorilla.
You stay, see? Like the lady says.
Cooperative help you've got in this building.
I'm sorry. Mr. Felton, last night when I met you in the nightclub, it wasn't an accident.
Oh?
My father sent me out to attract you, to get you to come over here today.
Nice daddy.
He's my father, and I love him very much. What can I do? He wants to hire you for a job.
Look, sweetie, you tell him I have an office and a telephone. I'm in the yellow pages under public relations. Now get that slob away from the door. I've got a busy afternoon ahead of me.
Please, you can't go. Papa is dying.
Oh, that's his problem.
He's going to make you quite a proposition. The retainer is $1 million.
What? IOUs or play money?
1 million. I'm serious, Mr. Felton.
Yeah, well, I always dug serious young ladies. What's the assignment?
He wouldn't tell me. He's waiting for you in his bedroom. This way, please.
Nice layout you've got here. You should lease it out for the next Army-Navy game.
My father does things on a grand scale. This is his room.
Yeah?
Papa, Harry Felton is here.
Press agent? Okay. Let him come in.
Please remember, he's very weak.
They say I have the perfect bedside manner.
Felton, over here by the bed. I can't talk so good. Sit down.
Okay.
What's the matter? You don't recognize her face? Brave boy like you? What's the matter? You look so sick you don't recognize her face?
What is this?
Shut up, I tell you. Nobody recognizes me. I got kind of thin like this past year. See? I tell the truth. I got 4 months left, see? Brave boy doctor tells me I only got 4 months.
Papa, no. What the doctor
said... I know what he said. It's a lot of double talk. Comes out, I got 4 months to live, see?
Papa. Papa.
Okay. Okay, honey. What about your friend?
Huh? Look, folks, this is very touching. You're getting me right in the heart.
Shut up.
I'd like...
Angela, tell Brett Boy who I am.
No, Papa, it's not safe.
Tell him. He's got to know.
Louis Calvin.
You? Calvin?
You familiar with the name, Brett Boy?
Sure. Louis Calvin. Yeah, I should have recognized you from TV.
I was fatter then.
I watched you for 3 solid weeks when you testified before that crime investigation committee. Louis Calvin. King of the big boys. Drugs, vice, extortion, shady real estate, loan shark.
You're talking like a press agent.
This explains the welcoming committee down the lobby. But I thought you
were... You thought I was deported. But I undeported myself. I come back to die.
Why?
That's my business. You think it's easy for a famous punk like me to get back in the States? Even just to die? Tell the truth, it'd be easier to sneak in on a barge load of uncut heroin. Not that I'd know about any barges like that.
Papa, you mustn't excite yourself.
Yeah. You're working for me, Bright Boy.
I think maybe you've got the wrong Bright Boy.
Get that snooty tone all of a sudden. I don't want nothing to do with Louis Calvin. Cheap punk press agent thinks he's too good. And let me tell you, Bright Boy, you're no rose neither. I got the rundown on you. Angela, hand me that notebook there.
Yes, Papa.
There you see? Harry Felton. Age, where he was born, school, everything. Army record. Dishonorable discharge.
Where did you get
When I get back a month or so ago, I start asking around. Who's the best public relations punk, I ask? Who's the brightest boy? Who gets the job done? Who don't mind twisting a few arms? Who don't care if his hands get a little dirty? And your name keeps turning up like a rotten apple. So I put a couple of my other bright boys out of you and come up with this notebook. To continue. Married twice. First wife divorced you. Second wife a lush. You never see her. 11-year-old kid in LaGrange Military School named Richard. And some other interesting names. Pages of them. Politicians, businessmen, movie stars, working girls.
Give me that.
Look out who you're grabbing from, punk. I may be dying, but I'm still Louis Calvin. All I gotta do is wiggle this pinky and you or anybody else has chopped me.
Listen, you don't scare
Sit
me.
Down and shut up.
Papa. Papa.
I'm all right. Let me alone with you.
I'm sorry.
All right. Bad boy, let's get down to facts. Here's this $1 million. I got it in a bank in Zurich, Switzerland, under the name Gregory Taylor. You play ball with me. You're Gregory Taylor. I said $1 million, bright boy. And no W-2 form neither.
$1 million? Tax-free?
I see. I touched on one of Bright Boy's favorite subjects.
And what does playing ball with you entail?
Make my name clean.
What?
Before I die, make my name clean.
Your name? Make the name of Louis Calvin clean?
I know. You're a bright boy, press agent. That's your job, ain't it?
Well, there's a limit to what even a press agent...
What limits? Stop snowing me, will you? You bummed through the greatest con artist ever lived. You can sell the suckers on anything or anybody.
You're dreaming, mister.
Listen. When I first come over to this country... Back when I'm a kid, 1910, 11. There's this punk owns half of everything. I mean, what he had back then makes what I got now look like peanuts. Tycoon, he calls him. Cute name. Tycoon. Everybody knew what he really was. How he made out by grinding people under his seat by the hundreds. His reputation makes mine look like Santa Claus, get me?
Yeah, but...
Shut up when I tell you. But all of a sudden, it starts to change. He became a benefactor. A wise old man of wealth and good deeds. The sucker started to love him. And you know why? Because he hired himself a bright boy like you to make his name clean.
Make my name clean.
How can I do something?
Tell you another story. We owned half a singer once. Sang like an angel. But inside he was so twisted up and sick. Made you feel crawly just thinking about it. Big star, everybody loved him. And why? Because we had a bright boy follow him around like a street clean after a parade. We made his name clean, see? Make my name clean.
Why? Why is it so important to you?
Because I'm going to die.
So?
I'm afraid.
You?
Yeah. I don't want to admit that. I tell you the truth. I'm afraid. Because I've done some things. I'm afraid the way it makes people hate me. I'm afraid to die with all this hate hanging over me.
Make my name clean. Please.
Make my name clean.
Goodbye, Mr. Calvin.
Wait a minute. Punk. Would you turn your back on me like that?
Papa, where'd you get that
gun?
Shut up.
Sit down, Rabbi. Sit down. I just told you stuff I never told anybody. Now make up your mind. You're working for me. Well, you ain't working at all.
Put that gun down. Oh, Mr. Felton, honestly, I didn't realize you'd gone this far.
Sit down, Brad boy. Or I'll blow your highfalutin brains right out of your head. Sit down!
Your offer's so charming. How can I refuse?
Look at Bright boy, will you? Playing a core. Oh, you Brad boys make me laugh. Inside your guts, you could turn to cool ash. But outside, you play it cool. Give me a laugh, see? Listen, you bright boy punk. I'm telling you, make my name clean. Louis Calvin is telling you to make his name clean.
Papa, put that gun down, please, please.
You don't need a press agent, Calvin. You need a priest.
Priest? Look what a priest do. Wave his hands around, say a lot of words. Bright boy priest ain't gonna make my name clean.
It's not your name, Papa. It's your soul.
Soul, don't make me laugh. What soul's got to do with anything? Who sees souls nowadays? It's your name. What's on the outside? That's all that cons are, suckers. The outside, eh, Brad boy? You tell her. Ain't that right?
You're calling the shots.
Right. Louis Calvin always calls his shots. Okay? You wait for me. I want to hear it from your mouth. You're my own private bright boy.
I'm your bright boy.
All right, Papa. See, he's working for you. Now, please give me that gun, please.
Oh, for crying out loud here. Okay, bright boy. Let's get down to facts. Now, look. Well, I see this way. I got 4 months, not much time. Now I got myself a good con artist working for me. And you start right away, today. You start getting stuff written up about me. Nice stuff, see? Like about all the good I'm doing with my dough. Only how nobody knows about it. Makeup stuff. Who's gonna know? Orphan homes in Europe, that kind of stuff, see? You start counting the suckers out there, and they start buying. And they start to say, maybe that old Louis Calvin, maybe he ain't such a bad guy, they say. Heck, has my life been perfect? Nobody's perfect, see? You start putting funny things in the papers. About the funny way I can't talk so good. I become like a lovable character, you know? I got this all figured out. I've been laying here day after day in his bed, figuring it out. And he starts digging me. You get it? The sucker start digging Louis Calvin. We caught him into digging Louis Calvin, get me?
Yeah, I get you.
That's what you think. You ain't had the payoff. We're after the biggest sucker of them all.
Biggest sucker?
Well, shut up when I tell you. I've been thinking about this. Laying here day after day. Listen. And all them suckers out there are conned. I'm whispering their nose on them. Then I'm getting ready to croak. We make a big sloppy thing about it. You know, the poor helpless slob, just like you and me, bravely facing death pit. Huh? You get me? We got them all so conned. These suckers out there. We got them all so conned. And they start feeling for Louis Calvin, see? They start feeling for him. Maybe they slip in a prayer or two for him, see? This is what makes the whole beautiful thing work. When them poor suckers out there start praying for Louis Calvin, then we're really getting close to the biggest one of them all.
You want their prayers?
Yeah. Yeah. They gotta pray, see? That's the kicker. They pray. They pray. And who hears prayers? Him. He hears all them little suckers praying. He hears all the suckers on earth praying for Louis Calvin. Because in their prayers, we got them all saying the name Louis Calvin over and over, see?
Papa, you've got to stop.
Now, let me alone. I know what I'm talking about. I tell you, I got it all worked out. I got... All you gotta do is follow my plan. Now get the picture. All those suckers praying their stupid hearts over Louis Calvin, right? It's just got to have some effect on him, right? As you see, only it's a priest when we get all them suckers down on their knees, praying to heaven like that.
Papa, stop. Stop talking like this. It's blasphemy.
Don't listen to her. What is she now? Don't listen to her, bright boy. Because you know what I'm getting at. When he hears all them suckers praying for me, he ain't gonna know it's a con job. He's just gonna hear them prayers and he's gonna go. He's gonna maybe let me cop a plea. See, if I even had a chance with him, I wouldn't be so afraid. See, I'll make my name clean. Make my name clean.
Papa, stop. Mr. Calvin, you must leave.
Shut up. Right, boy. Don't let him grab you. Don't let grab you where it counts. You tell any punk press agent you ever got a job like this. You tell me any punk press agent you ever got paid $1 million to con God.
Papa. No, you don't know what you're saying.
$1 million bucks.
You're out of your mind.
To con God. For Louis Calvin.
Mr. Felton, you must leave. You must get out of here.
No. You stay.
I'll see that he doesn't harm you. I have the gun, you see. Get out. Get out while you can. Next to the elevator, the back stairs. Use them. You'll be safe, I promise.
Don't you dare leave this room.
Calvin, I never thought these words would pass my lips. But may God have mercy on you.
Come back here.
No, you mustn't. You're too weak. Get back to bed.
I gotta stop him. I gotta, it's my only chance.
Papa. Let me help you. Let me help you back to bed.
Let the red boy out. He's my last chance. Don't let him out.
Felton's gone, Papa. He's gone. And Max can't hear you.
Let me out. The phone. I gotta get the phone. Call my boys. Get his kid. Get Brad Boy's kid. Out in that school. Get Brad Boy's kid.
Papa.
Then he'll come back. Then he'll crawl back to work for me.
No, Papa. Get back in bed.
What? You point that gun at me. You point that gun at your own father.
Go back to bed. Please.
You give me that red
heart. Papa. 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 I'm sorry.
I'm so afraid.
Papa. Oh, but don't die yet, Papa. I know you're dying, but not yet, please. Desk. Sammy. Get me St. Anthony's. Yes, the church. I want Father Dominic. Papa needs him. Now.
Theater 5 has presented Make My Name Clean, written by Romeo Muller, directed by Warren Somerville. In the cast, Santos Ortega, James McCallion, Joan Loring, and Peter Carew. Script editor, Jack C. Wilson. Original music by Alexander Vlastotsenko. Orchestra under the direction of Glenn Osser. Executive producer for Theater 5, Mr. Lee Bowman. We invite your comments. Write to Theater 5, New York 23, New York. That's Theater 5, New York 23, New York. This is Fred Foy speaking. Has been an ABC Radio Network production.
An episode of Theater 5, ABC's attempt at reviving radio drama in the mid-1960s. That broadcast, Make My Name Clean, was aired on April 30th of 1965. We have time for one more quick feature before we wrap up the hour, and we'll turn to Incredible But True. Much in the same vein as Ripley's Believe It or Not, Incredible But True told strange and supposedly true stories. There were two versions of the series on radio in the early 1950s, a longer 15-minute version and a shorter 3.5-minute version, both featuring the narration of Ken Nordine, whose voice was all over radio and television in the 50s and 60s, especially on commercials. We don't have a specific date for these syndicated transcriptions, but as I said, they're probably from the early 1950s, 1950 or 51, and this broadcast is entitled 300 Years Late, an episode of Incredible But True.
The sight of old battlefields invariably evokes in our mind's eye a vision of the men who fought on them in a former day. But all this, we insist, is merely an association of ideas. And we continue to insist, even though there is on record an authentic story which goes far to prove us wrong.
It was on Saturday night, November 5th, 1932, that Tom Horner drove with his friend Arthur Wright from Filey to Harrogate.
I'll wager you aren't even aware that we're right in the middle of Marston Moor, are you, Tom?
Marston Moor? Didn't some battle or other take place there?
One of the greatest battles of all time. It's where Cromwell's men defeated King Charles' army in 1644. Right where we're driving, along this road. Though, of course, the road itself probably was... Oh, watch out, old boy. Another car coming toward us. It's a bus of some kind.
Just as the two vehicles were about to pass each other, Wright gasped...
Tom, look out! Those men!
Suddenly, two men had appeared, walking down the center of the highway, just a few feet in front of the car.
I say, Tom, they've got long hair.
They're wearing hats with cockades in them. And cloaks. and boots.
Well, they must be going to a masquerade party of some sort.
Well, wherever they're going, I wish they'd get a move on. There isn't room to pass them.
The two strange figures paid no attention to Tom Horner's signal. Instead, they trudged slowly down the middle of the road, and Tom had no choice but to creep on behind them. For on one side of him, the bus was passing now, and on the other, a high hedge marked the edge of the road. When the bus had passed, Tom switched on his bright lights.
Now we can see what those chaps really look like. I couldn't tell whether... Hello? What happened to them?
The two figures had disappeared. Baffled and incredulous, Horner stopped the car. And he and Wright climbed out and peered up and down the road. They walked back several yards in the darkness.
But they couldn't have got off the road. No one could jump those hedges or even get through them. At least not in 2 seconds.
Well, perhaps, Tom, perhaps there weren't any men. We must have imagined it.
How could we both of us imagine the same thing?
I don't know. It's possible, I suppose. We were both talking about Marston Moor, about this being a battlefield. By George, those men were dressed like soldiers. Like soldiers from Cromwell's army.
Come to think of it, they were, weren't they? Still, I don't see...
I know, but... it doesn't make sense. But it's the only logical answer. There simply weren't
any men.
Hello
there!
The voice came to them through the mist and darkness. Horner turned quickly and saw a man approaching.
Hello! Who are you?
I'm the bus driver. Just passed you back there in the road. You didn't happen to see a couple of queer-looking blokes with long hair? They were walking down the middle of the road half a minute ago.
And so Tom Horner and Arthur Wright knew that they had not imagined the strange figures. For now a third witness had testified to their reality. Here on Marston Moor, almost 300 years after the most famous battle of the Great Rebellion, two men, dressed like soldiers in the Parliamentary Army, had appeared for a moment and then vanished. If we deny that they were stragglers out of the remote past, out of the days of Cromwell and King Charles, then how shall we explain this remarkable vision? A vision incredible but true.
Incredible but true. The shorter 3.5 minute syndicated version. One of these days I'll try to find a copy of one of the 15-minute versions of the series. I don't have any in my library and can't seem to find any online, but I'll keep checking. But plenty of the 3.5-minute shows exist on the Internet, and we listened to 300 Years Late, that syndicated transcription from the early 1950s. And that will wrap up this hour of the Upstate Radio Theater. My name is Jake Longwell. It's been a pleasure. Do join me again when you can for more great sounds from the golden age of radio. The Upstate Radio Theater is distributed by Quality Radio Productions.